against me.
But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. That's Mark 14:31, our text for this evening. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I suppose the most tragic aspect of the crucifixion of Christ, when we consider not just Jesus, but those around Jesus, the most tragic aspect of the crucifixion of Christ is the denial of the disciples. The disciples' denial of Jesus. After 3 years of following him, they denied him. After 3 years of preaching him, sharing him, proclaiming him, they denied him. After emphatically asserting that they would never, never deny him, they denied him. The difference between denial and betrayal, the denial of the disciples and the betrayal of Judas, that betrayal that we heard about 2 weeks ago now, well, that betrayal of Judas was premeditated, wasn't it? The betrayal of Judas was pre-planned, thought out, acted upon, all in the hopes of some sort of monetary gain. Denial, the denial of the disciples, well, that's something else, isn't it? Denial has more to do with saving ourselves, saving our own skins, our reputations, than about somehow profiting illicitly from our association with the person we deny. With the person of Jesus, in the case of the disciples. And of course, there's an aspect of fear usually when it comes to denial, isn't there? The idea that the confession of the truth of our association with Christ will have negative consequences. Now think about this. Judas in his betrayal didn't have that fear. In fact, it is just his association with Jesus which was the essence, the foundation, the basis for his betrayal. In order for Judas to betray Jesus, Judas had to know him. In order for Judas to betray Jesus, Judas had to let other people know that he knew Jesus. In order to betray Jesus, Judas had to identify Jesus to those into whose hands he was betraying Jesus, and that's what Judas did. Calling him teacher and kissing Jesus in front of the crowd, come out to arrest him. Now Judas, to his credit, it seems strange to say that, Judas, to his credit, did not deny Jesus. All the other disciples did, however. And so do we. So do we. So do we still every time our connection with Jesus, our confession of Jesus as the Christ, as the Savior of the world, threatens our safety in some way, whether it be physical or financial or what we could call social safety, our social position. Yes, we too today continue to deny Jesus if when we feel somehow endangered by our confession of him, we stop. We hesitate. Somehow balk at a simple acknowledgement of our association with him. Nowadays, that seems to come in the form of a sentence uttered by a friend or a coworker or even family member, somewhat along the lines of, certainly you're not some radical Christian, are you? Or, certainly you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, do you? Or, certainly you don't go for all that body and blood communion stuff, do you? I mean, in essence, what is being said to us when such questions are asked is something like, you're not stupid, are you? You're not an idiot, are you? You don't associate with such foolish people, do you? Such a way our pride is touched a bit. fear that we might lose a friend or some sort of other relationship. And then there's just that religious queasy feeling that we can get sometimes when we know some sort of religiously important moment is taking place, a moment of confession perhaps on our part, a moment of witness, and we don't say anything. We don't know what to say. Or at least we don't think we do. For yes, like the disciples, we too have confessed that we would suffer all, even death, than fall away from the Christian faith. And we did that. We did that at our confirmations. At that moment, at confirmation, when we were 13 or 14 years old, that we swore, as did the disciples, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that we would remain faithful even unto death. We heard something similar from the Apostle Paul in our second reading tonight. Therefore, I endure everything. I endure everything, we heard there. For the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yes, at our confirmations, we were thinking in such a way about our confession of Christ, but then what happened? What happened? Life happened, didn't it? Every once in a while, we'd find ourselves in those moments when we were challenged to confess our association with Jesus, and well, we balked. This is a serious matter. Our second reading again. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We are faithless. He remains faithful. We cannot deny himself. What does that mean, though? If we deny him, he will also deny us. It means that if, having confessed Christ, we then deny him and we don't repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness, that denial, our denial, it remains in place. Because what are we doing when we deny Christ? But not only lying, but working against the Holy Spirit who's working within us so that the confession of Christ does indeed come out of our mouths. We never, ever, ever want to find ourselves working against the Holy Spirit in such a way. So let us confess our sin. Confess our sin of denying Christ. If we have ever found ourselves doing so, when we didn't speak up, when we tacitly affirmed another's denial of Christ, when we didn't wholeheartedly admit our association with our Savior, what does our Savior do? What will he do? He'll remain faithful to us, forgiving our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Yes, our sin, even of denying our Savior, is forgiven by our Savior, in who, in forgiving us, he doesn't deny us, but he fully admits that we are his. He confesses us. That is, his association, his fellowship, his communion with us. And that being so, the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus is not some sort of itinerant holy man that said some wise thing 2,000 years ago, wise things that someone also then wrote down. Yes, in that our Lord and Savior Jesus is not just a man, but very God himself. What do we have to fear about our confession of him? What do we have to fear? He's God. When I was in first grade, I love to tell my friends that my brother was in the fifth grade. He was a wrestler, an undefeated wrestler. Why? Why did I make that confession? Well, I wanted my friends to know that if they ever thought about ganging up on me, they'd have to deal with one who was much bigger and much stronger than they were. Now, when I was a fourth grade, a picture was included in the middle school annual, a picture of my brother pinning a wrestler from our rival Scott's Bluff. And underneath the picture was the caption, "Screaming will get you nowhere, says Big Jim." That was my brother, Big Jim. Had no trouble confessing him. Was proud of him, I knew he would always help me. See, we need to think of Jesus that way. And so we need a stronger faith, don't we? One which, when challenged to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as the King of all creation, as a creator of all that exists. Yes, we need a faith when so challenged confesses what the psalmist confessed in tonight's psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it's they who stumble and fall. And an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I'll be confident. That's the strength of faith we need. That's the strength of faith for which we should pray. That is the strength of faith which says, when asked, such a snide and such a condescending, such a snarky fashion, you don't go for all that Jesus stuff, do you? Response, yes, yes I do. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my friend. So how can I say I don't know him? How can I say I don't love him? How can I say I don't serve him with every breath of my being? Think of me what you will. But I will not stop thinking about Jesus in that way. Faith itself, my faith, it demands it. Strangely enough, nowadays, when the affirmation of personal belief, personal viewpoint has become so important for everybody, we actually may have more of an opportunity than perhaps ever before to affirm our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior from sin and from death and the devil. Our confession then of Christ can be a confident yes. Why would I not believe what in fact is true, who in fact Jesus is, what in fact he's done for me? And then we can let the chips around us fall where they may. And we might even be surprised then what actually happens. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing the canto.